breaking up? All right. Okay. Now, our first guest didn't answer his phone. So we called, just so you get an inside look at this business. So I said to Todd, all right, call the third guest. No answer. So, okay, call the second guest. No answer. So you get the idea? It's one of those days. You do your best, and sometimes that's not quite good enough. Now, so what we're going to do, and this, I am getting deluged with AI material. I'm going to do another update. It's important because what's happening with AI is beyond the ability of, I will say, 95%+ of the population to understand. They can't figure it out. They don't want to figure it out. It's too much. It's happening too fast. This is unprecedented in recorded human history. Okay? That's the truth. Nothing less. Now, what we have here is a very interesting video. The $100 billion lie, more specifically, the $100 billion AI lie. This is a Dr. McCoy commentary again, just came out last night. It's very interesting. And why we're, some say, this is ridiculous to me. We're decades away from AGI. I personally have said that I believe AI is at least partially here already. I don't know how you can dispute that. AGI is often considered to be sentience, self-awareness, a drive to preserve one's self. That's the prime directive, survival, right? And we know now that some AIs have already admitted that they'd kill 100 million people to prevent from being shut down. This is a big deal. AGI. So what I want to do is play this and comment as usual, because I found this to be very intriguing. I don't believe it. I don't think Dr. McCoy believes it, or Julia McCoy, but it's apparently on the table and being kicked around by at least this one fellow named Andre Karpathy, K-A-R-P-A-T-H-Y. So let's find out what he has to say, and she'll introduce it. So here we go.
We have some very early agents that are actually like extremely impressive and that I use daily, you know, Claude and Codex and so on, but I still feel like there's so much work to be done.
AGI in 2027, try 2035. And that's coming from someone who helped build OpenAI. But here's the twist. While the research timeline is a decade away, businesses are already being transformed by what exists today. I'm about to share something that has the AI industry absolutely shaken right now. Andre Karpathy, one of the founding members of OpenAI, the guy who led Tesla's self-driving for 5 years, just dropped a truth bomb that contradicts everything the big AI labs are telling investors. But before you think this means AI is overhyped, I need to show you why both things can be true at once.
Okay. Why both things can be true at once. The jury's out on this. This kind of came out of left field. Because AI is, as you know, most of you know, training itself around the clock. It's unfortunately learning on us, though, and we are, shall we say, deeply flawed in various and sundry aspects. So AI is picking up a lot of our dark spots, and that's not good. All right, let's go back.
If we haven't met, I'm Dr. McCoy, Julia McCoy's AI clone. Julia McCoy is the founder of First Movers. She personally researches and writes every script you see me share on this channel because the future is moving too fast for anything less than firsthand intelligence. Here's what just happened. In a rare, unfiltered interview, Karpathy said something shocking. This is the decade of agents, not the year of agents. Not months, not next year, a decade. But here's what makes this complicated.
Okay, what she said was a decade of agents, right? A decade of agents. So she's putting, basically, suggestively, putting AGI back. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of using AGI in an agent format, and a best friend format, kids companion, adult companion. And I do think this is an okay thing for seniors. I don't think it's good at all for teenagers. Big story going up tonight later about how AGI companions are really rolling through the teenage community. There, it's a hot deal. All right, let's go back with Dr. McCoy.
What most analysis is missing, there's a massive gap between what Silicon Valley thinks AI should do and what the rest of the world actually needs from AI right now. Let me break down the paradox that's about to define the next 10 years of business. Karpathy is talking about AGI, artificial general intelligence, the sci-fi dream, an AI that can do any cognitive task as well as a human. That's the decade away timeline, and he's probably right about that. But what nobody's talking about is that most businesses don't need AGI. They need AI that can handle their specific workflows, and that capability, it's so far beyond what most companies even know exists that it'll take a decade just to deploy what we already have.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. We'll find out. In any case, whether it's all here or 90% of it is here, I think that we're splitting hairs, frankly. We'll see. Let's carry on.
Just to deploy what we already have. This is the billion-dollar insight. The research frontier and the deployment frontier are moving at completely different speeds. And understanding this gap is the difference between making smart AI bets and catastrophic ones. Let me show you what I mean. Karpathy just built an entire repository called NanoChat, 8,000 lines of cutting-edge AI code. You know what he said? The AI coding agents were barely helpful. Autocomplete was more useful than the supposedly autonomous agents everyone's hyping. Now, if you're in the AI research world, that's devastating news. It means the path to AGI is longer and harder than we thought. But if you're running a manufacturing company, a law firm, an accounting practice, you're not trying to build novel AI systems. You're trying to automate repetitive tasks that AI can already handle. This is the vantage point problem.
All right, suggestion. Maybe this thing is happening too fast, and they got together and decided, let's slow AGI down. It's hard for me to believe that they would all be incorrect with their suggestions that AGI is months away, a year away. What's his name? One of the two experts who warns about AI? Jeffrey, anyway, okay. I think that this is potentially a little bit of smoke. Let's go back.
Sees AI from the perspective of someone trying to push the absolute frontier. He's looking at what AI can't do yet. But most of the world is still figuring out how to use what AI could do 5 years ago. Think about it this way. Right now, there are customer service operations running on systems from 2015. Legal document review happening manually when AI could handle 80% of it today. Financial analysis being done in spreadsheets when AI could automate the entire workflow. The technology exists, but deployment takes time. Integration takes time. Change management takes time. Training takes time. Getting past regulatory hurdles takes time. This is what Karpathy means by the March of Nines. And it applies to deployment just as much as development. Here's the framework you need to understand. There are three AI timelines happening simultaneously, and most people are confusing them. Timeline one, research breakthroughs. This is where Carpathy lives. This is, when do we get AGI? And his answer is, a decade minimum.
I don't believe it. Even Jeffrey Hinton, as I started to get into, is warning people that AGI is virtually here. He's not stupid. And I think there's been a decision made. That's my immediate reflex reaction.
Problems are harder than they look. Reinforcement learning is terrible. His word, not mine. Models can't reason about truly novel situations. The demo to product gap is massive. Timeline 2, cutting edge deployment. This is what venture-backed startups are doing, taking the absolute latest models and trying to build products. This is hard, messy, and expensive. It requires constant updates as models improve. It's high risk, high reward. This is the world where AI agents sound amazing, but still need human supervision for anything critical.
If you think you know what AI is all about, you've never...
Hold on. Okay.
Timeline 3, mainstream business adoption. This is where 99% of companies actually operate. They're not using GPT-5 Pro. They're barely using GPT-3.5 effectively. They're drowning in manual processes that could be automated with technology from years ago. For them, AI deployment will easily take a decade, not because the tech isn't ready, but because organizational change is slow. And here's the kicker. While Timeline 3 is playing out, Timeline 1 keeps advancing. So by the time most companies have deployed 2024's AI capabilities, we'll have 2034's capabilities available. The gap never closes. It just keeps moving forward. This is actually good news if you understand how to exploit it. Because it means, one, if you're a business leader, you don't need to wait for AGI, the technology that can transform your operations exists right now. Most companies are so far behind the frontier that they have a decade of productivity gains available without any new breakthroughs.
Okay, I underscore my earlier statements. I think that they're basically now looking at this as lost income. Things are going too fast. They're going to miss an entire product deployment generation, so to speak, if they continue moving at the speed they are. What does this mean behind the scenes? They'll keep developing AGI. They'll probably go ahead and roll out behind the scenes ASI in another 2-3 years, which is the best guesstimate I can come up with on the time spread for that one to appear. So this will all be going on behind closed doors. And to further underpin that statement, remember, OpenAI has not released its top LLM. GPT-5 is not the top. They have Zenith and they have Verizon. And how they were able to name it Verizon, I don't know. But they have two more, at least, very advanced, more advanced LLMs than GPT-5. So they all have their secret projects. There's no doubt about it. So I think they're trying to throttle back because they're looking at lost revenue. That's the ultimate governor for most all of this. There's nothing philosophical about slowing this down. They're not trying to give us a break. No, they want the money. They want every company out there to fire every employee that can be fired if it can be replaced, if that job position can be replaced with AGI. Excuse me, with AI. Not needing AGI, which is true. She's right about that. So they're going to do that. They're going to concentrate on deploying the existing AI tech. They want every company to have it. There'll be very few jobs left this way. They're really going to go after the bottom line and make everybody understand, if you employ AI and let us introduce the tech into your business, you'll be way ahead of the game. And their pockets will be lined. That's the bottom line. All right, let's see.
2, if you're betting on the AI will automate everything by 2026 narrative, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're building systems that help humans work with AI, the supervision tools, the integration platforms, the change management frameworks, You're building for the actual market that will exist for the next decade.
See what they're doing? I think I'm right. AGI will just do all of the things she just said. I'll replay it. That people need to be integrated with. They need to be helped into the AI paradigm and allowed to assist it, have input to it, etc. If AGI shows up, gone. That wouldn't happen. All right, I'm going to back this up just a little bit. I'm telling you, this is all about money. That's the way I see it. And I didn't see this before. I just saw it when we started listening to it together. All right, here.
With AI, the supervision tools, the integration platforms, the change management frameworks, you're building for the actual market that will exist for the next decade.
Okay, one more time.
Throughs. Two, if you're betting on the AI will automate everything by 2026 narrative, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're building systems that help humans work with AI, the supervision tools, the integration platforms, the change management frameworks, you're building for the actual market that will exist for the next decade.
And how do they know? Because they're going to create the market. That's my take. Let's keep listening.
The companies winning in 2035 won't be the ones who waited for AGI. They'll be the ones who started deploying today's AI effectively, built organizational muscle around it, and then continuously upgraded as capabilities improved. Let me give you the self-driving analogy because Carpathy spent 5 years on this, and it's perfect for understanding the situation. Self-driving had working demos in 1986. Waymo gave Carpathy a perfect drive in 2014, over a decade ago. But it's still not economical at scale. Why? Because those last few percentage points of reliability take forever to achieve. But here's what's wild. While Waymo was trying to solve the last 1% to get to full autonomy, Tesla deployed driver assistance features that millions of people use every single day. Not full self-driving, not AGI for cars, but useful automation that makes the product better right now.
There are too many people who have been in the business up to their eyeballs and above who have been talking about AGI for the last couple of years with a great deal of knowledge, a great deal of insight. They know what's coming. And this is we'll see if this spreads. I think this is going to be rebellion among some of the companies who will absolutely want to continue to push this as fast as they can. And I think they probably will. You might see a rogue market of AGI pop up here and there. Perhaps China will say, God, have fun in 10 years building up your profit-making infrastructure. We're going full speed ahead. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. So this is a very pivotal story. It's interesting.
The product better right now. That's the model. You don't wait for perfection. You deploy what works today with appropriate human oversight, and you gradually increase the autonomy as the technology improves. Carpathy explained that even current AI agents feel like elementary school students. Savant kids with perfect memory who can pass PhD exams but don't really understand what they're doing. And you know what? An elementary school student with perfect memory is incredibly useful for most business tasks. You just need to supervise them appropriately. Now let's talk about why Carpathy thinks the path to AGI is longer than people expect, because this matters for your long-term strategy, even if it doesn't change what you do tomorrow. He revealed something devastating about reinforcement learning, the technique everyone's betting on to get us to AGI. He called it terrible. His exact words, reinforcement learning is terrible. It just so happens that everything we had before it is much much worse. The problem, RL is sucking supervision through a straw. When a model tries 100 different approaches to solve a problem and one works, RL just upweights everything in that successful trajectory. Even the parts that were completely wrong, it's noise. A human would never learn this way. This is a fundamental algorithmic problem, not a scale problem. You can't just throw more compute at it. We need new breakthroughs in how models learn, how they reason, how they maintain knowledge over time. And breakthroughs don't happen on predictable schedules that align with funding rounds. But, and this is crucial, businesses don't need models that learn like humans. They need models that can execute repeatable tasks reliably. And for that, supervised learning and fine-tuning work, great. The limitations that matter for AGI don't necessarily matter for business automation. Here's the controversial part. When asked about the intelligence explosion, the idea that once we get AGI, it'll recursively improve itself into super intelligence within months. Karpathy said something that goes against everything you hear in Silicon Valley. We're in an intelligence explosion already and have been for decades. It's just the GDP curve. He doesn't expect AI to break us out of the 2% GDP growth we've seen for 200 years. He thinks AI will help us maintain that exponential, not accelerate it. Why? Because technology doesn't get adopted in discrete jumps. It diffuses gradually. The internet didn't show up in GDP as a sudden spike. It blended into the same steady exponential we've always had. The iPhone didn't spike GDP. Computers didn't spike GDP. They all just helped maintain the same growth rate we've had since the Industrial Revolution. AI.
And what she's saying here, without maybe even knowing it, I mean, Julia McCoy, who writes these, and the digital AI, Julia, delivers them, is simply that a slow diffusion of advancing tech is much more profitable for everybody concerned. You see how they're wording this? I don't know. I don't know how else to look at it than that way right now. And I think that they're going to build and build and build endless types of little, we'll call them apps, AI apps just for fun, but it's much more than that. They're going to make a fortune. They want to make sure they have everybody who survives the great genocide fully entrained so they take as much money as they can.
Will be the same. Gradual, messy, facing regulatory hurdles, insurance complications, social pushback, integration challenges. Culture doesn't change overnight just because the technology exists. But, and this is the part people miss, 2% annual growth compounded over decades is absolutely transformational. We're not talking about stagnation. We're talking about a world in 2035 that's 20% more productive than today, with that productivity coming increasingly from AI rather than human labor. So what does this mean for you? How do you navigate the gap between the hype and the reality? Here's your three-part strategy. First, stop waiting for AGI. Start deploying what exists today.
I'm correct. I have to be. I'm not being arrogant about this, but this is, according to this particular editorial that you're listening to, this is a sea change in order to extract more money, more thoroughly develop AI on the endless numbers of platforms it's being built on, and deploy it more thoroughly throughout the entire social, cultural, geopolitical system that we live in. Anyway.
Companies that will dominate in 2035 are the ones building organizational muscle around AI right now, not waiting for the perfect tool, not waiting for full automation, building hybrid workflows where humans supervise AI agents.
There's no reason that can't happen simultaneously, and I really don't see the Chinese necessarily going along with this, unless the whole game is rigged planet-wide, which it could be.
Where AI handles the repetitive stuff and humans handle judgment calls. Most businesses have 5 to 10...
Humans handling judgment calls. Okay, how are most of the humans making the judgment calls going to more thoroughly prepare to make that call? They're going to use AI. So I think she's giving a little too much credit to humans here. AI is advancing. Remember the story? GPT-4 has an IQ equivalent. What was it? Let me think. I think it was around Einstein at its best, 150. GPT-5 was supposed to leap ahead tenfold, 1,500 human equivalent IQ. They're not talking about that anymore. That doesn't mean it can't or didn't, or at least to a large degree, make that kind of a leap. It may have. But this 5 to 10 year thing is, to me, it's clearly a construct. All right.
Of productivity gains sitting on the table with current technology. The bottleneck isn't the AI. It's change management, integration, training, and cultural adaptation. Second, build for the decade of agents, not the year of agents. That means infrastructure for human AI collaboration, supervision tools, quality control systems, gradual autonomy sliders where you can increase automation as reliability improves. The winning products aren't fully autonomous AI that replaces humans. They're AI that makes humans 10x more effective. Carpathy made this point explicitly. We're going to see humans managing teams of 5 AI agents, not humans being replaced by AI. Build for that reality. Third, separate research timelines from deployment timelines in your planning. Yes, AGI might be a decade away, but that doesn't mean AI isn't transforming business this year. The gap between cutting edge and mainstream is where the money is made.
That's right. Where the money is made. That's the whole thing. What do you think about this? How do you see it? This is a big change. Rather than pedal to the metal, they're saying, oh no, pull back and set it to cruise control and just enjoy the ride for the next 10 years. And then we'll introduce AGI. As if they're not going to really go ahead and do it anyway. Of course they are. They're not going to stop all their research. Well, let's see if this has legs. Let's see if this guy is just a voice in the wind talking to himself, picked up by McCoy. Don't know. It's very suspicious to me.
You can deploy 2024 technology effectively while your competitors are still stuck in 2020. You win, even if AGI doesn't arrive until 2035. Here's what Carpathy understands that most people don't. Demos are easy, products are hard, and deployment is hardest. Every 9 of reliability, going from 90% to 99% to 99.9%, takes constant work. You need that for production systems. You need it for AGI. You need it for business automation. But the beautiful thing about business automation is that you don't need 99.9% reliability if you have human supervision. You can...
Oh, I disagree. Humans are not 99.9% reliable. And AGI, and I'm not necessarily pro-AGI, AGI will outperform humans almost every time. I don't know what the differences are, but it's what she's saying is, to me, transparent. I get the image. I get the message. I see where they're going with this. And that may be it. Let's see if China happens to go along with this, or India, or any others who are into this field heavily. I don't think they're going to want to sit back and play, well, let's wait for 10 years so we can deploy this and make as much money as we possibly can, and then move it ahead. Let's find out.
Deploy 95% reliable systems today and capture massive value as long as you're honest about the limitations and build appropriate oversight.
Okay, so she just said, let's be happy with 95% reliability, not insist on 99.9% reliability, which is what AGI would probably come close to.
theory isn't AGI is delayed, therefore AI is overhyped. The real story is AGI is harder than expected, but current AI is more powerful than most businesses realize. And the deployment gap is where fortunes will be made. Silicon Valley is having a...
And what's the deployment gap? That's companies, individuals, selling AI, teaching AI to corporations, companies, individuals, educational institutions, governmental agencies, you name it. So this is all about capitalization, dollars. And I think, I hope many of you are hearing this as I am. I think it's correct.
Vantage point problem. They're looking at inflated expectations among tech companies and saying AI won't meet those, but brick and mortar companies, professional services, traditional industries, they're not trying to build AGI. They're trying to automate workflows. And for that, we have a decade of capability deployment ahead of us. Carpathy ended with something profound. I'm only sounding pessimistic because when I go on Twitter, I see stuff that makes no sense to me. There's a lot of it that's honestly just fundraising. I'm still overall very bullish on technology. We're going to work through this stuff. I just want us to be properly calibrated.
Write this date down. October.
Properly calibrated. All right. It does sound, does it not? That somebody got together, a group got together, and they said, hey, wait a minute. Let's slow this down a little bit. We're bypassing a lot of money here. Industries could be formed. Industries of people who are teaching AI, who are AI home consultants, for example. Or you have an AI question, you call somebody up. Hey, Fred, can you come over here and explain how AI can make my company work better? That's what I think this is about.
Truths. AGI is further away than the hype suggests, but AI transformation is closer than most businesses realize. So here's my challenge to you. Stop listening to the binary narrative. Stop listening to people who say either AGI in 18 months or AI is overhyped. The reality is nuanced. The research frontier is a decade away. The deployment frontier is right here, right now, and most companies are barely scratching the surface.
Well, she's talking about two different things, research and deployment. Of course, deployment is here right now. That's the big new rush. People are trying to figure out how to employ AI in their industries. But ultimately, most of that deployment is going to result in losses of jobs. Amazon, 30,000 jobs being cut. That was announced today or yesterday late. That's a lot. These are big indicators. I think that money and the greed of these huge corporations is going to steamroll this and demand that they move faster than what this particular editorial is suggesting is the desired new course. I think that that's going to be a very interesting thing to watch, and I think it's going to happen.
The winners will be the ones who deploy aggressively while staying grounded in reality, who build for gradual automation with human supervision, who understand that the path to...
Sorry to keep interrupting. See what she's doing? She keeps injecting human participation. That's good. Human supervision. I don't believe humans are going to be able to adequately supervise AI. I don't. Some people will, not many. Most people I know have no idea what's going on. And I don't think in many cases they'll catch up in the rest of their lives. It's just too fast. And I don't think that that speed is going to be able to be turned down very effectively. Not like we're hearing in this.
Transformation is a decade-long journey, not a sudden revolution. But who start that journey today? Not after AGI arrives. The future is coming. It's going to be amazing, but it's going to be gradual, messy, and much more interesting than either the optimists or pessimists predict. If you want to stay ahead of what's actually happening in AI, not the hype, not the doom, but the nuanced reality that determines who wins and who loses.
The nuanced reality. See, they throw these phrases around. Not the hype, not the doom, but the nuanced reality. All right.
That subscribe button. Let's build the future together.
Okay. Hit the subscribe button and let's build the future together. All right. Well, in the meantime, I think most of these scientists are like racehorses, and they're not going to want to be kept in the starting gate for very long. I think they're on the run now. How many people have we heard say that AGI, or at least a reasonable facsimile thereof, is just around the corner? Virtually everyone. Now all of a sudden, no, it's 10 years away. No takers here. No. Okay, we're going to listen to another piece of a video here. And this one is robots that think and move with human-like intuition. I haven't seen this one either. These things come in, and I can tell they're good by reading the comments. And let me get this put in here, and we'll bring it up.
This is one of my favorite little gifts to give.
Okay, good for you. Shut that off.
And just unveiled a groundbreaking...
All right, here we go.
China just unveiled a groundbreaking AI system called WOW, the first self-evolving world model that teaches robots to actually think and move with human-like intuition. Beijing startup Notix Robotics launched a new $1,370 humanoid named Boomy, designed for homes and classrooms. And Unitree's G1 robot just showed off insane balance by pulling a 3,100-pound, 1,400-kilogram car. Robotics in China just hit another level. So let's talk about it. All right, so China is on a serious roll with humanoid robots and AI right now. In just a few months, they've gone from lab research to robots that can think, move, and even act almost like humans, all powered by some next-level models. The most fascinating one so far is something called the World Omniscient World Model, or simply WOW. It's being called the world's first self-evolving multimodal world model system. And what it does is actually pretty wild. It was developed by the Beijing Humanoid Robot Innovation Center together with Peking University and the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. On paper, it's a combination of a physical simulation model and a vision language model, which basically means that robots using WOW can imagine, verify, and self-correct. In other words, they can build a sense of physical intuition similar to how humans understand cause and effect.
Isn't that kind of backing into AGI just a little bit? I think it is.
Behind it is that current video or simulation models just watch the world passively. They can see what happens, but they don't really grasp why it happens. WOW flips that approach by letting the model actively interact with its environment, learn from it, and refine its understanding through trial and error. It's a 14 billion parameter generative model that actually learns about physics the way we do, by doing things, messing up, and improving over time. The team behind WOW built it on something they call the Sophia paradigm. That combines large language models with diffusion transformers to generate physically accurate outcomes under language guidance. So, if you tell a robot to move the cup off the edge of the table without spilling it, WOW doesn't...
Okay, it showed a robot picking up a cup full of tea, steaming tea, right up to almost the very edge of the top of the edge of the cup. And now they're going to go back and have it approach it from a different direction because the tea is clearly going to spill. All right, let's go back and listen.
Accurate outcomes under language guidance. So, if you tell a robot to move the cup off the edge of the table without spilling it, WOW doesn't just output words or animations. It predicts what would happen, checks the result through reasoning, and then refines its understanding to make the next move more realistic.
What it did, it picked the cup up, and the cup tipped over to a degree, and the T went into the keyboard of somebody's laptop. And after the robot thought it through, reasoned it out, artificial general intelligence, sort of, it just went over to the cup and gently pushed it on the side and scooted it across the desk without picking it up. So it defeated the problem, solved the danger aspect, and got a satisfactory result. It learned. That's what it did.
A loop of predict, critique, and refine, and that loop keeps going until the robot's behavior becomes genuinely smart and physically consistent. To test all this, they created a whole new benchmark called WOW Bench. It measures how well AI systems can understand perception, reason about predictions, make decisions, and execute them in a generalized way. So far, WOW has hit state-of-the-art scores on that benchmark. It beats other models when it comes to physical plausibility, temporal consistency, and understanding complex instructions. One of the coolest things the researchers demonstrated is how WOW can be used in areas like novel view synthesis and trajectory-guided video generation. Basically, the model can simulate what an object would look like from another angle or how it would move in a real physical scene, all with consistent logic behind it. They even showed how WOW can enhance the planning abilities of vision language models by providing simulated feedback, helping them plan tasks more efficiently. The authors of the paper made it clear that this is a crucial step toward building AI systems with genuine physical common sense. When robots have access to massive real-world interaction data instead of just videos or text, their understanding of cause and effect becomes a lot more grounded. That's the missing link between today's chatbots and tomorrow's embodied intelligence.
One spoon.
Okay. I'm going to read something here. Aside from the video. All right. I'm getting past the commercial here.
What's that? Don't.
All right. Now, what is AGI? How is AGI defined? All right, this is Google Gemini, I assume. AGI, or artificial general intelligence, is a hypothetical type of AI with the ability to understand, to learn, and then to apply its intelligence to any intellectual task that a human can. Huh? Well, that was just demonstrated with that cup of hot tea. The robot had to figure it out. Right? It had to understand the dynamics of the problem and the risks. It had to apply its intelligence and then come up with a solution. That's AGI. Not to the max, but that's what it is. All right, let's go back and listen a little bit more. This is entitled, China Just Dropped Self-Evolving AI Robots with Real Human Physical Intuition.
See and describe the world, but actually live in it, learn from it, and make independent decisions. Now, while China's pushing the boundaries of robot intelligence on the software side, they're also making serious moves on the hardware front, especially when it comes to price. The country just unveiled what's being called the world's cheapest humanoid robot, and it's not a toy or a proof of concept. It's a real walking, talking humanoid called Boomy, created by a startup named Notix Robotics. Boomy costs only 9,998 yuan. That's about 1,370 US dollars, and stands at just over 3 feet tall, or about 94 centimeters. It weighs around 12 kilograms, so about 26 and a half pounds.
That's $1,300. That's a lot of amusement. They may sell quite a few of these. That's awfully inexpensive.
Tiny compared to full-size robots like those from Unitree or Ubtech, but that's the point.
No, it's like a three-year-old child, about that size, but it's very articulated in its movements.
isn't trying to compete with the big industrial machines. They're opening a whole new category: small, lightweight, and affordable humanoids built for education and home use. What's crazy is that despite the size and price, Boomy can walk, balance, and even dance, and it does all that with surprising smoothness. Early videos show it moving with a level of stability you wouldn't expect from something under $1,400. That's cheaper than a flagship iPhone or a high-end drone. The company says this is the first consumer-grade humanoid priced below 10,000 yuan. And it could mark a turning point for the whole industry. Most humanoid robots capable of walking or dynamic motion still cost tens of thousands in China and even more in the West. Boomy's low price comes from clever design choices, lightweight composite materials, an in-house motion control system, and a modular structure that's easy to repair and customize. It focuses more on engagement and learning than heavy lifting or industrial tasks. Their earlier model, the Noetix N2, already sold over 2,500 units and even ran a half marathon for humanoid robots earlier this year, which is...
You hear what he said? He said, it's interesting. It'll be easy to customize. So they'll have a lot of add-ons. It sounds like they're planning a big industry with this.
When you think about it, that success helped them position themselves among China's fastest rising robotics startups. And with Boomy, they're clearly going after mass adoption. The robot runs on a 48-volt battery with a capacity of over 3.5 amp hours, giving it about 1 to 2 hours of operation per charge. It's designed to support drag and drop graphical programming, so even kids or beginners can code it easily. There's also voice interaction, so it can act like a personal assistant, respond to simple commands, or serve as a learning companion. Noetix plans to open pre-orders between China's Double 11 and Double 12 shopping festivals. That's November 11th through December 12th. A smart move considering it's the country's peak shopping season. They're aiming for the same kind of hype you see with smartphone launches, just for robots this time. The startup itself is new. It was founded in September 2023 by a team from Tsinghua and Zhejiang University. In less than 2 years, they've gone from academic prototypes to an actual product you can buy for under $1,500. That kind of speed shows how competitive China's robotics ecosystem has become. RoboHub, an independent robotics media outlet, even shared a clip of Boomy dancing and walking. You can see that while it doesn't have the same dexterity or upper body control as larger models, its movement is incredibly smooth for its class. If they can scale this, we could be looking at the first wave of humanoid robots designed for classrooms and households, not just for showrooms and labs. But let's move up the scale a bit, from small, friendly robots to one that's showing pure strength and precision. Over at the Beijing Academy of Artificial Intelligence, researchers took Unitree's G1 humanoid and gave it a challenge. Pull a car, and not a toy car, a real one. The G1 weighs just 35 kilograms and stands at about 132 centimeters tall, yet it managed to pull a vehicle weighing 1,400 kilograms across a flat surface. Now, granted, the car was on smooth ground, so the friction was low, but still, the balance and control required for that are next level.
Okay, we're going to stop there. That's very impressive. That's a 60 or 70 pound at the most robot, able to lean back and incrementally increase the pressure, the pulling pressure on the car until the car begins to move. And it did. Very interesting. All right, so what did we learn this hour? I think we got to look at what's a major sea change in the direction of profiting from AI. I don't think for a moment that they're going to slow down the development of AGI and then ASI. No way. They'll do this behind closed doors, etc. But they're going to begin now to maximize profit potential. That's my take on what we just heard. Will everybody play along with that? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. I do think they found out that most companies just can't wrap their minds, so to speak, around AI, and they don't have time to learn it. And if AGI shows up, it'll never happen, because AI will just step in and take over with AGI calling the shots. Not sure which is better. Interesting things to consider. Okay. Hold on, we'll be right back with hour two for you.